Yes, we study the topic. I preach because the gospel is precious. Okay. So let's understand the gospel first. We have to recognize how precious the gospel we have is. Otherwise, we are not going to talk about it. If we don't sense the importance of the gospel, how can we have the motivation to share with others? Right? So, basically, the gospel means good news. Good news. So good news could be all different aspects. Just like we can ask ourselves, what is the most precious thing in your life? Everyone maybe have different answer, right? Someone may consider, love is so important. You know, in this age, you know, some of you may be looking for love. You have to have this sense of love in the family, among your peers, right? Or in the environment, we feel so comfortable, and we can sense I am beloved. So, being loved gives us a security, a sense of security. Some may consider, freedom is very important, right? Very precious. So, as a child at home, when you are in the teenage, you may consider your parents just give you too many of the decision. You cannot do that or you cannot do that. If you want to attend a prom, right? No, right? Parents say no. Or you want to go to a party? No. You cannot return home after 11 o'clock. Something like that. You don't like it. So you want to have freedom. You consider freedom is precious. It's a big gift to you. So let's think about what is gospel. Why this gospel, this good news, is so precious. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If we just use a passage, a single passage describe the gospel we believe. This section, chapter 15 from verse 1 to 8, probably is a summary about the gospel. It contains a very essential part or element, component of the gospel. If we do understand, then we will recognize and realize how important, how precious the gospel is. Verse 1. 15, verse 1 and 2. Let's go for... we have names. We have all with the same... Who is the... Sarah. Sarah, we have two Sarah here, right? Sarah Wong and... another Sarah doesn't come yet. Sarah Han. Okay. Sarah, please read. Okay. So I declare to you the gospel in which you stand, by which you are also saved. So we are saved through this good news. Right? Because Jesus, he came into this world to proclaim, to establish this gospel, this new good news. It opened a living way to heavenly kingdom. So we follow this way and then we can be saved. So this is good news. We are free from the punishment we deserve from God because of sin, right? But now, Jesus, he did it for us. We don't have to be condemned. We have peace. We have been reconciled with the Lord, with the Heavenly Father again. So, here, he said, I declare to you the gospel. Declare. Let's continue to read verse 3 to 8. Let's go for verse 3. Verse 3. Let's have
Father
Anthony. Anthony, page 3. 3, only 3. Okay. So this gospel from verse 3, it gives us the content of the gospel. So I believe this I will continue in this slide, which I preach to you, and also for the word which I preach to you, it continue to say he preached the gospel to the church in Corinth, and then to all that which I also receive. Now the gospel he received first. So in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 to 12, Paul his special mention the gospel he received from the Lord. Directly, not from men. So that's why, through the revelation, he understands how precious the gospel is. Because according to his knowledge in Old Testament, he understands the law. He knows all the prophecy in the book of prophets. Right? So, Paul, he was an expert in Old Testament. But now, after he converted himself as a Christian, he followed Jesus. He received this gospel. Then, he suddenly, just like his eyes opened to see the deeper and the more meaningful message in the Old Testament. So he proclaimed it. Right? And then, in verse 3, he said that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So the scripture described about our sins, about Jesus, prophesied the coming of the anointed one. Right? So Christ died. This is the core of the gospel. And Christ, Jesus Christ, a Nazarene. He's a man. So, the gospel are things that happened before, already happened. It's an actual, it's a real man. It's a real the descendant of Abraham. He is a historical man, right? So this figure, Jesus, he lived with us, among the, at that time. So Jesus and Apostle Paul, probably contemporary, they are about the same age. So Jesus, he died. This is a fact, not a man-made tale, right? You know, some religion, we amaze so many people, but the story, the doctrine they believe actually man-made. We don't know whether this figure exists or not. Is it true or false? But Jesus, he is a historical man, right? We can track back to his genealogy. You can see how different. So Christ died. And then He died for our sin. He died for the sinners, right? So he is a just, righteous, complete righteous. No one can point out his fault. He declared to his disciples, also to others, right? So he is just. He is sinless. But he died for our sins. So this is the love of God. According to the prophecy in book of Isaiah, let's turn to chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Let's read from verse 1. Verse 1 to verse 3 first. Okay. Verse 1 to verse 3. Sister Ruby. Ruby. Where's Ruby? In verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There's a new study about the face or the form of Jesus. Recently, it is a news. Did you see? Yeah. So the figure, actually, they figure out it's very different from what you know our imagination, right? The people, the very common face of Jesus. So actually, you know, the church, the early church, they make Jesus so handsome. People want to look at him, right? But actually, according to the scripture, it's not. It's not. Okay? Because he is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. So he must look like very 苍老, it's no beauty at all. Right? But this is for us. He suffered that much for us. Okay? So, verse 4 and 5. Father Benjamin. Benjamin, please read. Very clear this description about what Jesus he suffered for us. So this is love of God. Even though we are sinners, we don't appreciate his suffering, but he did it silently for us. He died on the cross. So this is the component, the content of gospel. He died for our sins. And next, he was buried. He was buried. So we often neglect the burial of Jesus as part of the gospel. Yeah? Because we usually focus on his resurrection. But his burial is important too. We cannot neglect. Because it is proof that he really died and buried in the tomb of a rich man. So in Isaiah 53, let's read, continue in verse 9. Let's read verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 53, verse 8 and 9. Let's have Victoria, please read. Amen. So, but who is the rich at his death? Huh? Because he had done no violence. And so he was laid down in the tomb of the rich. So in Matthew 27, fifty-seven to sixty. Jesus was buried in Joseph's tomb.
Joseph's tomb.
Okay, so you see how the scripture has been fulfilled. So his empty tomb, his empty place, prove Jesus' resurrection. So no one can find his body. But the scholar or the archaeologist, right? 考古学家, they can identify, oh, this place where Jesus was buried. Okay? So this is a fact. And it's just like you and I. We have been, if we pass away, then we will be buried. Now sometimes we will be burned. Right? And then just put in somewhere. So this is important. What Paul he mentioned in this passage. Next. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse, we read 3, verse 3, right? Did we read verse 3 yet? Verse 3. Let's read verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3 and verse 4. Sister Kimberly. Okay. So, he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. He rose again. So this truth is essential to the gospel. Jesus resurrected. Why is the resurrection of Jesus so important? Why? If Jesus didn't resurrect, and then there is no gospel, right? Everything is just finished. But because he resurrected from death, that's why we have hope. So in the book of Acts, we can see how Paul, he keep emphasizing Jesus resurrected, the anointed one, the Christ. overcome the death. Turn to Acts chapter 24. Acts 24. Verse 14 to 16. 14 to 16. Brother Nathan, please read. So, this we can see how Paul declared himself, "I have hope in God," which they themselves also accept that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. So, he preached everywhere this resurrection of Jesus. So, I myself always try to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. He is faithful sermon preacher. Because at that time, not everyone, even the Jews, the descendants of Abraham, believe there is a resurrection, right? So in chapter 26, verse 6 to 8, let's see this verse. It's so interesting. 6 to 8. Sister Joanna. Okay. Verse 8 says, "Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raised the dead?" Yeah? So, it's very important. Jesus resurrected. That's why we also can have a peace, no fear about death. If we really accept the gospel, then our understanding about our beloved and passed away is different. As long as they are in Christ, we feel okay. On the third day, Jesus resurrected. So he proclaimed he would rise 3 days after his death. Jesus foretold the fact to his disciple. Right? So what he said, fulfilled. So all the things we can see how important, you know, the gospel contained the resurrection. And Jesus, he is the one, is the anointing one. Because God, this is what God wants him to accomplish on the earth, this gospel. And then from verse 5, turn back to verse 5, 13 of chapter 15, verse 5 to 8, verse 5 to 8. Brother Ryan, can you read? Okay, so he was seen by Cephas, Peter, right? So in Luke 24, Jesus make a special resurrection appearance to Peter. You don't have to flip to this verse, but Jesus appeared to Peter, to apostles. Every time when Jesus appeared, show himself to them, there is a purpose. Special mention or entrust them a certain passage. So this is how Jesus entrust this gospel to his disciples, and then they have to continue. And how you hear in verse 5, then he was seen by the 12 apostles, right? And then about 500 brethren. And at the last, then last of all, he was seen by me also. So the Lord showed himself alive and talked to Paul. So this verse in verse 8, but in the final section, he said, as by one born out of due time. What does it mean? Paul, he saw Jesus. But the way Jesus revealed to him is different from what Jesus appeared to apostles, right? Because Paul was called after Jesus ascended into heaven. But to Paul, it's so vivid because just like Jesus talked to him on the earth. So that's why here it describes, he's just like a premature baby, right? So he recognized himself. I'm not worthy. Jesus revealed himself to Paul in a different way. Put it in a simple way. It's a different way. He saw Jesus. So resurrection and then seen by apostles. Okay, now. In verse 11, so we preach, so you believe. They go out to preach, and the listener, the hearers, they believe the gospel. So Paul and all apostles have seen the resurrected Lord. So Jesus, they preach the resurrection of the dead. In verse 11, chapter 15, verse 11, so the Lord spoke of the things pertaining the kingdom of God in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. So when Jesus appeared to the disciples, he taught them about the kingdom of God. So how do apostles know the interpretation of Old Testament? Because Jesus taught them. That's why. Peter, he can just stood up from prayer and then just preach and just cite the scripture to prove why Jesus is anointing what and what happened, the Holy Spirit come into us, right? Okay, so we preach because we understand the gospel and we know it's precious. Why? You know, in this passage, and then we ponder, why the gospel is precious? Because it is the love of God. Without the sacrifice of Jesus, sinners supposed to be condemned and go to hell. We have no hope at all. Right? But because the love of God, Jesus, he paid all the price of sin for us. So Romans 8, 5, verse 8. Let's read this verse. Romans 5, verse 8. Six, Sister Amy. Amy, please read. What's nine? So God demonstrated His own love toward us. So in the hymns, when we sing hymns, many hymns talking about the love of Jesus, try to think about it. When we sing it, it's very important. If we sense the love of Jesus, then our life will be different. It is the grace of God to set us free, right? If we don't come to Jesus, if we don't accept the gospel, I bet most of us will behave differently. We will have a different life, different value. We may just keep struggling about in our sinful nature. We cannot overcome any temptation. Right? So that's why so many youth in your school, in your college, the precious years, they just in addicted to a certain bad habit, right? And just cannot do their work. But we are different. We are free from sin. We are free from this desire. And in Acts chapter 15, this is a conference in Jerusalem. Special mention about the law. Right? The law. If we believe in God, just like the Jews, they did, right? They do believe it. There is a living God, only one God, true God. But they don't accept the gospel. They don't believe in Jesus. And then, they just like someone have a heavy burden on their shoulder. They have to be careful about the food to eat. The distance they walk on Sabbath. Right? The things they touch. Or the friends they associate with. If, I don't know whether you have a friend of Jews or really very devoted Jews. According to Book of Acts, chapter 15, there's no way the Israelites, the circumcised, will invite you to their house because you are unworthy, unclean to come to their house. And they will not accept your invitation to your place to eat with you on the same table. No way. Right? So this is what happened in the book of Acts 15. Let's read this verse. I think now we believe in Jesus, we are free from a lot of regulation. Let's turn to chapter 15. Acts 15. Verse 7. 7 to 11. During the debating. During the debating, this is how Peter, he stood up and then he spoke this message to us. Verse 7 to 11. They have, can Father Jeremy, please read. Therefore, Amen. So especially put the line on the yoke. So now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? If we have to obey the law, then it's no freedom at all. Right? But the gospel set us free from this regulation. So we are so free. So TJC, you see how we observe Sabbath? We're so free, right? Because this is grace of Jesus. We don't have to worry about the law, because we transcend already. We follow Jesus. Then we receive the blessing. We can be saved. We are free from the world. So we know we are in the world, but not of the world. We know who we are, what we want to accomplish in this life. So this grace of God, this is how Jesus, when he discovered the word, became flesh, then he bring us the abundance of grace and the truth. The gospel promises the hope of eternity. So that's why, if we look at Acts chapter 17, Acts 17, Apostle Paul, he preached. He introduced Jesus, the true God, to the people in Athens, right? And then he made a conclusion in his message. Then conclusion toward to resurrection. Let's turn to this verse 32. 17. 17. Let's read 31 to 32. Sister Margaret. Margaret, where is Margaret? Okay. So after his introduction about God, and then in 31, right? Because he has appointed a date on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, he has given assurance of this day or by raising him from the dead. And then when they heard of this resurrection of the dead, and then some just mock, and then some believe, some don't. So this resurrection, eternity, in 1 Corinthians 15, 12, 19, turn back to 1 Corinthians 12 to 19. Say, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Okay, and then jump to verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Pitiable. So as a Christian, we believe this gospel. We have hope. It's very important. And this is the motivation for us to speak it out. Okay? This promise makes us to enjoy every day. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. What if I die tomorrow? You don't have to worry about that. Right? Because we know our end is in the bosom of the Heavenly Father. Okay? Now, who will preach the gospel? Who? Oh, preacher. Council member. Right? Apostle Paul, of course. The 12 disciples. Right? But how about every one of us? Right? Who? Those who receive grace. Consider in the book of Mark, chapter 10. This is a blind man. Bartimaeus. Bartimae. How he received the healing. And then he followed Jesus. To be a living testimony. How precious the gospel changed his life. Right? Those whose life been renewed. Consider in Mark chapter 5, the demon-possessed man, how he received the healing. The demon, a legion of demon being cast out. And then he said to Jesus, right? Let's turn to this verse, even though we are a little bit late. Let's read this verse. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. We have someone to read out loud. Deborah, please. Amen. If our life has been renewed, been changed, we will definitely follow the steps of this man to proclaim the gospel. Those who recognize the precious gospel, just like Apostle Paul. So in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 to 10, he said, I'm not worthy, but because God's grace, I am now I am. He just devote his whole life to preach the gospel. So what he had done actually means greatly recognized by others. Even the apostles and elders in Jerusalem, they say, this man, Barnabas and Paul, they strive their life for the gospel. So this is how the gospel can be spread that far now, until the end of the earth. Let's follow their steps. Truly understand and recognize the precious gospel so we can go out and preach. We did the same thing and we will receive the same glory and send praising from the Lord. Let's pray in silence.